here, so I'll do that. He ain't worth that. Nobody's buying the CD.
There's no platform, no microphone.
Yeah, they ain't be able to hear that. Anyway, I'm Agnay Billy. What's up, Brooks? I'm grateful to be here, man. I was at the bus stop. You know, I got up early enough to get on the bus. Everything's good, 15 minutes. But of course, you know what I mean? I'm worried about the bus not showing up. Like the one time the bus ain't going to show up.
Yeah.
You know, already in my head. And I called a couple of friends of mine that were coming. And they came and gave me a ride. Nice. But I was sitting there at the bus stop thinking about, you know, of course, thinking about what I'm going to share. You know how we do, right? I want to get in the way right away. And, you know, I was thinking about my first convention. You know, my first social, well, my first convention. And, you know, I just got grateful, man. I mean, I just felt it. Diversity is our strength. Well, I'm a drug addict, man. I was a hopeless dope fiend. And I don't even mean like a junkie. I wasn't a dude that was, let me rephrase. I'm not a dope fiend. And I'm not a crack addict. Because I only smoke crack usually like at the end of the day, at night. You know what I mean? The crack. Y'all feel me? Like the crackheads were waiting on me to come home, like my sister's house. Because at the end, I didn't really have a home. I was ripping and running. So I don't really consider myself a crackhead. I didn't like the geek or the nod. You know? I like to be like right in the middle.
Right.
One star.
Yeah, you know. I don't like, yeah, oh my God. I take so many benzos, you know, I'm fucking like this at the end and, you know. But when I think about my gratitude, man, it isn't really when I think about, like, how bad the drug use was. Yes, it was bad. Yes, it was horrible. At the end, the mental illness set in. I couldn't use enough. You know, in the beginning, you know, drugs were my solution. It was the only thing that could get me out of my head, man. I own my own company in Quantico, Virginia. My dad was a businessman. I grew up in a home where I saw my father be so stressed and worried about money and business that he couldn't be a father to his three stepsisters. Which were my sisters, because I was born in the family from them. They were from my mom. I say my dad was the original captain. Shouldn't say this, Captain Save-A-Ho. My mom was not a hoe, but he was here. But he was the original, because I had the same. You know what I mean? But you know, he bought my mom. It was in Quantico, Virginia. She had three little babies, and her husband was a Marine, and he dipped on her, took all the money out of the bank. I don't even know why I had to say he was a Marine. He just wasn't a Marine. He was in Quantico. And, you know, my dad bought her an air conditioner. That was it, man. You know what I mean? They got married. Oh, I don't know why that's funny. It's only funny to us, dude. That story. Anywhere else, that story would be like, okay. But us were like, you know, and, you know, but, and I always told my, and I watched my father, man, you know, I watched my three older sisters. Not looking back on it at the time, I'm getting to a NA message, by the way. But at the time, I didn't know, you know. But he just wasn't there for them emotionally, man. So much pain in them, man. Still, my three older sisters. And I grew up in that home because he was always wrapped around the axle with business. His drug of choice was he was addicted to his obsessions and thinking of business and money. It wasn't drug use. Always told myself I'd never be that way. Money will never have me, man, like that. And I found myself that same person with one difference. I could get fucked up. You know what I mean? I wasn't gonna sit around and wrap around the axle. I would go and use. And at the beginning, you know, I'm hanging out with a friend of mine at the convention that I used to use with, right? I used to be called the Concert Connection. That was fun, man. It was fun. That shit was fun. You know, they say my best day, my work. Nah, there was a lot of fun out there. Because back when I used to hang out with her, you know, it wasn't that bad, man. I used to be able to only use when I chose to, man. I would literally only use at concerts at one point. Because I was married, and that was kind of the deal I made with my wife. Like, I was only, well, drink, because she didn't know I was doing other shit. She wasn't that bright, dude. I remember coming home off a run. You know, and I was thinking about the gratitude of, like, at the bus stop. But, I think back to that coming home off a run, man, and just looking at myself in the mirror. And did you ever look yourself in the mirror and jump?
Yeah.
You're like, holy fuck, dude.
Yes, sir.
Then you start, stop looking at it. You come home, don't look in the mirror, dude. You'll be all right. You know, coming home, man, that pain, man, of you know, the parties, you know, it's time to go home. You know, coming home and laying in the bed, man, and you're like, don't move or breathe. She's going to know you're fucking geeking out, dude. You know, and dude, I used, man. I was in so much pain at the end. At the end. I remember waking up, man. I had ripped and ran in business and made some good choices. I had a home in a nice neighborhood. I had a wife. I had a kid. I had a brown picket fence. You know, chasing the American dream, man. Stress the motherfuck out about losing that shit. I had that, the young lady from New York read it. My inability to accept personal responsibility. I created this whole world of problems in my thinking, man. The impending doom was always coming. I was always worried about it. They was going to come take my shit because I owned a business back before the housing crash when they would just send you credit cards in the mail with $25,000 limits with no questions asked, man. I had good credit. Man, you can't give an addict credit cards. I don't know. Nobody told them, dude, at the bank. Like, don't send that guy that credit card. You know, because I priced my product. I sold military boots in Quantico, Virginia, and I remember pricing my product at $180. There was a reason why they were $180 and not $189. Right? And the Marines would come in to buy the boots, and I'd be like, hey, man, you know, go get cash, and I'll knock tax off. You know, bet. So the Marine would go get the money, give me $180. I'd lock the door, go up to Dale City, cop, come back. And then in Quantico Town, you got to go through a Marine Corps Marine Corps gate to go to Quantico Town. It's the only place I get in the world, dude. It's a civilian town surrounded by a Marine Corps base. You got to go through a military checkpoint. I didn't give a fuck. I grew up in Quantico Town. Them Marines didn't bother me, dude. And everybody like, dude, how you go through that gate? I'm like, fuck them, man. I was an addict. I'll never be out there. But if I was, you know, that brings the law, dude, when you get paranoid. Anyway, that's another topic. We ain't sharing to people trying to figure out how to get out of it. Like, you know, if you're worried about cops, like, that brings, y'all know what I'm saying.
Yeah, we do.
So, dude, I would come in, right, smoke crack in the back of my shop. And be like, damn, I'm going to sell some boots because they're waiting in line. And I'm selling, right? And then, you know, that shit only lasts a couple of minutes. And then all of a sudden I'd be like, oh, like, what are these motherfuckers doing in my shop, dude? Like a fucking insanity, dude. Drugs, man. I was insane. Insane. I remember that house that I bought, man, when I would wake up in the morning. You know, I slept in the guest room. You know, my girl, I wasn't sleeping with my wife. Everything healthy, everything that's natural in life, I was disconnected from, man. I was disconnected from myself. Any kind of higher power, any kind of decent relationship with my wife. I was horrible. I was always grouchy and shitty because I was never high at home because I had a little baby girl and I didn't want to get fucked up at home. So I got fucked up at work, but I was just stressed at that same guy that I grew up with, that disconnected father that couldn't be a father to my three sisters, man. I was that guy. Just in a bad mood, man. She didn't do nothing to deserve that shit. I'm sleeping upstairs because what the fuck? My girlfriends were on the internet when it wasn't so bad, because at the end, I wasn't even doing that. I mean, we weren't even, that all there was like, you know, at the end. Like, if you're new, you might as well stay because you don't want to get to her, ain't going on no more. By yourself. That shit, if you stop doing that, you're fucked up.
No, I get it.
Disconnected, dude. I remember waking up, dude. That's why when I'm standing at the bus stop and I think about diversity is our strength. 2009, man. Y'all fucking love me, man. I had 42 days on my key, on my thing, right? Everywhere I went, man, y'all loved me. I was the most important person at that convention, man.
Yeah.
Every line I was in.
Yeah.
This shit didn't make no sense, man. Why am I, dude, I got clean at the Who Wants to Live group of Narcotics Anonymous in Fredericksburg, Virginia. I go there sometimes and I'm a home group, but they meet every day, Monday through Friday at 12 noon, man. At the Nooner, dude. The Nooner. I'm laughing because there's a lot of crazy shit that goes on at the Nooner too, but get the tape of Billy M 2 years ago. And there's a funny story about a dude that I caught masturbating in the dinner. And that's how I fucking CD done it. And they were like, dude, why? Anyway, what I shared 2 years ago, I think it's supposed to wait three, but it was 2 years ago. And I shared all this crazy shit from the nooner, and my sponsor was like, dude, you made us sound crazy in Fredericksburg, dude. You didn't even share the good shit, like how they saved your life. I was sharing all these crazy stories about the nooner, like a drug log. And I'm like, man, I was nervous, dude. My ex was in the room, dude. She had one day clean and shit. I was sharing on relationships. And every time I tell somebody I was sharing on relationships, it was relationships to ties that mine, but I never got to the ties that mine part because they would bust into laughter. Because my topic was relationships. Oh, snap. My topic today is God's will versus self-will. Wow. And anybody that knows me laughs at that topic. That's a good topic for me, man. Dude, I'm so blessed. I was all obsessing about what I was going to share about, and my friend Kelly took my hand and prayed for me, man.
Nice.
Aww. Dude, I felt nice. God's presence, man. Yeah. She said the most profound thing. She said, dude, they came to see the sunrise, man. They ain't coming to hear your ass. I was like, wait. I was like, that's the best thing to say. And then the dude, because I love, that's Kevin and Kelly, I love that. The dude said, dude, she's never prayed for anybody before. But that touched my heart, man. God, man, what a blessing, man. 8 years of this, man, I never could imagine it would take me to a place where I have these people in my life that I love, man. I can't even, and I'm not bragging on me, dude, because I get high, man. I'm a drug addict to the motherfucking core. When I came in here, there was no way this was going to work for me, man. No way, because I had a problem with this. Y'all wanted me to not use any drugs. I mean, what? Don't smoke crack. Okay, we got that. Dude, don't drink alcohol. Alcohol's a bad drug. You know, I got that. Because alcohol leads to all the other shit. But y'all was saying, like, don't smoke weed. What? I thought you used weed to get clean.
Right.
Isn't that what you do? You get high-grade weed. It has to be weed with a name. Not no mid-grade shit. Mid-grade shit, you just end up drinking alcohol. But if you smoke the high-grade shit, you can, like, not drink. Or you, you know. Y'all were like, my mind would always go to, at the nooner, man. You know, the good times. And I would think, like, how in God's name are you telling me I'll never drink a beer again? That's the stupidest shit you could ever even say to me. And they would be like, dude, just don't use today.
Right.
Man, if you're new or not new, dude, if you can, like, internalize that concept and just hear what I'm saying, dude, you only have to stay clean today. Only today. Just don't use right now. You know? If the meeting's over, hang out with the people out there, man. I chilled with the people after the meet. Check this out. I was talking about I'm the most irresponsible, not follow through, unstructured, lazy motherfucker in the world. But for some reason, I took all the suggestions, man. You know, with this, three things I'm good. Well, I'm not going to say the third thing. Two things I'm good at. I'm a good parent, and I'm good at this recovery stuff, man. Because first of all, I knew it wasn't going to work for me, right? But I couldn't say that if I didn't do it all. You can't say Narcotics Anonymous doesn't work if you don't do Narcotics Anonymous, the suggestions.
Right.
So I did the suggestions. They said, you know, go. You know, we got a meeting tonight. And it's not about what I did. It's about where I went. It's about where I positioned myself. It wasn't about, like, what I necessarily did, but when the meeting went in, the dude that shared, I remember my first Narcotics Anonymous meeting, right? The Who Wants to Live group. I sat on the front row. I'm a fish. I'm like, what the hell? You know, because I went to a detox. H&I.
Yeah. Boy, that's the best job you could ever have.
Take a time.
You got some problems in your life? Because really, you just have a thinking. You're just thinking about it. Because really, we ain't got no problems. The reality is I'm standing on sand right now. Any problem that I have is in my thinking. It's in my this obsession. For real, get an H. Go to H&I.
Okay.
Raise your hand and be like, I want a commitment. Find out if you can actually do the. That's real important, by the way. Find out if you can do the commitment. Don't get caught up in, I want a commitment, but I can't actually show up. You know. Like, ask for H&I, man. We ain't got time for how much H&I has saved my life, because I have the ability. God's will and self-will, I have the ability to get in the way of my life and pull down pain, man, for myself. Clean. Because I've done some work on myself, man. I have some emotions and some feelings. I'm in touch with my heart. You know, I can open up to another person, a female, you know, relationships. I have that ability today. I've done some step work. But my story is, I'll try to do that with people that are actually able to or willing to, you know, give me the same thing back. Ends up with some pain, man. I was in so much pain 2 summers ago. I don't know how long ago it was. They know me. 2 summers ago, dude, I was taking commitments. I had a jail. It wasn't even H&I. They were running off. It was a place in Richmond that does like these NA meetings, but it's kind of like traditions, kind of like this. But they would let me come at will, man. I was over there sharing these dudes in jail, man, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, man, 2 times a week. Because when I was driving to the jail to bring them a meeting, I was obsessed about a girl, my ex, whatever the hell was going on with us, because that shit was going on off and on for years. There was like a year and a half where it wasn't really nothing because she got married and then it got crazy again. But dude, check it out. I'm getting to a point. I ain't sharing. I'm looking around to see if she's here. And I'm like, or anybody she knows, because I ain't trying to share about her anymore. I did that shit too much back. We ain't doing that today. But my point is, when I would leave that commitment, I would like, well, I wasn't even thinking about her, dude. Magic, man. Because, like, the gratitude to be able to take it. Our message, man, is a spiritual solution for the problem of drug addicts, man. AA and NA ain't the same. I love AA. I used to go to AA and NA, man. I have friends. I share. AA's a great fellowship, but it's not all the same, dude. Narcotics Anonymous has one promise, man. We don't fuck around with if you're constitutionally incapable. What? Any. You can't give us a loophole, dude. Don't give us a loophole. I'd be like, yeah, I'm that dude. I'm constitutionally a dishonest motherfucker. I know. God damn it. Nah. Narcotics. I'm like, look, there's not even a book there. I think I'm pointing at a book. Narcotics Anonymous says any, dude. Any. Dude, I love sharing that in the neuter, dude. Neuter's like an H&I meeting, by the way, our neuter. Because, you know, there's always 4 or 5 in the back from the methadone clinic, dude, or whoever. Dude, any means... Y'all going to give me 5 minutes, man? Or so, yeah. Somebody? You let me know.
Go on, do
it. All right, whatever, man. Don't worry about it. I'm just going to end when I end.
Yes.
It's a spiritual solution. And them dudes in the jail, dude, didn't know shit about any big ass meetings, man. And I'd be like, look, man, look. This is not NA. This is just me sharing my experience, strength, and hope of Narcotics Anonymous. When you get out of this jail, go to a meeting.
Right.
What a blessing, man, to be able to guide these men, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
There was a lot of men that didn't give a fuck in that jail. They were just there because they lied, said they were drug addicts, so they get their time reduced. There was a contention of guys that were like, whatever, but if there was only one dude, man, and there was more than one, some of them called me afterward, they say, I don't go by no rules, dude. They're like an H&I, don't give your phone number out. I'm like, fuck that, dude. I mean, I ain't giving it to the girls, but I'm going to give my phone number out at an H&I commitment. I know you're not, don't say that I told y'all to do that, but whatever.
Kill me up.
Man, I'm choking myself with the wind and shit.
Yeah.
Like a high priority saying, stop, go buy the handbook. Dude, I was H&I chair, right? For real, dude, this thing's choking me and shit. Oh, it's inside my jacket. Which way, that way?
I don't know.
Okay, yeah,
and then tuck it in.
God damn, dude.
It's gotten more and more
wound up. Yeah, she fucked me up. Hey, that's a perfect analogy of Narcotics Anonymous, because, like, except she would be, like, trying to get, like, help from them out there, giving me bad advice, but if, like, whoever's telling me to go this way, that's like NA, like, you know, take some suggestions. I need some help.
Oh,
you're good.
Take it off.
Okay.
Go the other way.
Yes.
Oh, good. Take it off and unwind.
Yes.
Woo! Hey,
I knew that was going to get applause. Dude, I appreciate that. All right. You know, I'm gonna go back to that noon meeting, man. You know, who wants to live group of Narcotics Anonymous, man? And the thing that really messed me up, dude, is that, you know, every noon, yeah, I was good at, I'll just keep yelling, fuck it, I can yell. It's the disease of addictions in my thinking, right? In every noon meeting I would go to, I would share this. You know, the disease of addiction is funny, because before when I was out there, I was like ripping and running, doing every kind of drug under the sun. I stopped going home, I stopped going to work, I owned my own company, and I just was ripping and running at the end. And I remember waking up, dude, in that guest bedroom, and the birds were chirping. It was the most horrible sound in the world, man, to hear these birds chirping in the morning, because they woke me up.
Yeah.
I just wanted to keep sleeping, man. I didn't want to wake up at the end.
Yeah.
Like the last year and a half, especially the last 90 days. And I hated those birds. And I had a resentment against God. Because why he make those birds so happy? Them motherfuckers ain't even got to go to work. They ain't doing shit. He's out there chirping and shit. And I gotta wake up and feel this pain in my chest, man. Aww. This depression, this anxiety and stress of worry. And the only thing that took that away was when I'd go down to the bar and order the legal drug that was there, man. Thinking about ordering a cold Budweiser took all the pain away. I'm a drug addict, man, to the core. Drugs were my solution. You know, and waking up and hearing those birds, I hated them. And the irony in that now is that I actually practiced something. I'm going to word this traditionally correct. I practice presence, right? It works for me. I found that my spiritual solution, God's will for me, is to be in the present moment. God's will for me is to be where I am. It's very, very simple. My spiritual practice is very, very simple. My higher power is the most accessible higher power on the planet. Because all my higher, to find my higher power, I got to feel that breeze. Yes. Or listen to the birds. You know, now I get it up in the morning and I go outside and I sit on a chair on the porch or in front of my shop. I actually sit in front of my boot shop now, dude, like this old hippie with long hair listening to birds. And Marie's looking at me like, what the fuck? You know, and I listen and I pay attention to the bird. The sound, they're the best. It's three S's: sense, perception, sight, and sound. You know, paying attention to what I see, what I hear, and what I feel. Pain is a great tool to practice presence. This is totally Narcotics Anonymous, because once you start doing this stuff, you find it's all through our literature. It talks about living in the now. Almost every step in our basic text talks about living in the now. And it's a practice. That's the reason why the spiritual solution of Narcotics Anonymous works for us, because it's not you got to do this or not do that. It's we practice. That word practice is the most powerful, one of those powerful words in our literature, because anybody can practice anything anytime. You know, you could say, well, like, I can't meditate. No shit, you're an addict. You got ADD, ICT. You're fucking an addict. You can't meditate. I don't think. If you can, you're in the beginning, especially, you know. You know, it's a practice, dude. And it's the irony that I practice listening to birds now, man. And I listen to a Jimi Hendrix song. I mean, I am so stuck on Jimi Hendrix lately, dude. I swear to God, his music, listening to it, takes me in, man. Takes me in. And he's got a song where he talks about being in, and he's always singing about pain, you know, with some girl, and then he talks, and then he's got this, like, freedom in it. Like, dude. And he has a song where he talks about, like, the birds are chirping to him, man. And I'm like, man, what a blessing. I don't know why I'm so stuck on Jimi Hendrix lately, man. Music, dude.
Yeah.
I used to think that, I swear to God, I truly believed you had to be fucked up to enjoy music, man. And concerts? I'm going to tell this story, dude. I was 15 years old, man. This dude bought two AC/DC tickets. His name was Jimmy Rieger. He was an Asian dude with a big yellow Oldsmobile. He used to chill with the dudes who could get girls because he wanted chicks to hang around him, even though he couldn't get girls, so he would chill with us because we could get girls. He bought like two AC/DC tickets, right? I was looking forward to that concert, man. I wanted to go to that concert so bad, right? I was like so excited. The dude didn't show up. It's so funny, man. You look back on your story, man, you see why you're the way I am. So now I'm like, I've been like a concert junkie. I told you that my friend said I was a concert connection. And he didn't show up. I was devastated. I always thought you had to be fucked up to enjoy life, man, to have a little play. What a lie, man.
Yes.
That's a lie.
It's a lie.
My first year, surrender is the key to this thing.
Yes.
All right. Check this out. I was in a meeting, a celebration meeting. This lady put out there, what do you think surrender, what surrender mean to you? And this lady raised her hand, and it was weird. It was a celebration. She was asking questions. I never saw that since, right? She said, surrender is taking suggestions. So surrender is, for me, is simple. It's taking myself, allowing you guys to guide me. It's taking suggestions. The definition of surrender is not doing things my way, doing things your way. You know, so my first year, there was a Metallica concert. I was 6 months clean. My best thinking thought, you can get fucked up and come back and get a white key tag. That's simple, dude. I'm going to see Metallica right there in September. You know, makes sense to me. Then I thought, that reading... one is too many, a thousand's never enough. Maybe that's the one thing that's wrong. Everything else was right. Everything else y'all said was right. But maybe that one's wrong. This is perfect, like... But I already know you're supposed to call people, right? You're supposed to share shit. You're supposed to share your thinking with other addicts.
Right.
Because the disease of addiction's in my thinking. At that noon meeting, I shared every day I wanted to get a 40. The disease of addiction only wanted me to drink a 40 when I got clean. It didn't even tell me to go get crack. 40. And I shared every day I want to get a 40. I called up my friend Sarah Kay. She was my running buddy. It was a chick that got clean right after me. And we were like, buddy, you got to find running buddies in this process, man. Other people, and not necessarily people with time, because for real, people ain't got time to chill with my newcomer ass all the time, right? We had a group of newcomers that were trying to stay clean, and we chilled. I called and said, Sarah Kay, like, maybe that reading's, and I started laughing, man, because it's so silly, dude. That's the dumbest thing ever, dude. Go to Metallica, what? Get fucked up. I'm an addict, dude. You know what I mean? But in my thinking, it sounded great. Go get a 40. You know? Go to the Metallica concert. Get fucked up and come back. So then I decided, I'm going to go ahead and go, but I'm not going to use. There's my next best thought, right? So they were like, dude, you need to stop. I didn't go to a concert for 1 year. And I went and saw Roger Waters, The Wall. I was 1 year clean. Who would have thought Roger Waters' The Wall would be one of the best concerts? I mean, I was, oh my God. I just love The Wall, right? That album just speaks to me. I feel like they wrote it for me, right? I listen to The Wall because it's The Wall, right? I'm crying because I'm like, yeah, dude, I've always been behind The Wall, right? All my life I was behind The Wall. I couldn't see, dude. Like, all y'all can see, but I can't get there, man. I'm disconnected. And because of Narcotics Anonymous, dude, the walls come down, dude, and I stepped into to like being able to see, the freedom, man. That's a hell of a promise, freedom. I keep pointing the literature saying, where's that book at? It's like right there. The book says freedom from active addiction, and freedom from my thinking no longer needs to control me, man. You know, the wall came down. You know, I waited a year and I enjoyed it. Now I go to concerts and enjoy them, and I headbang and mosh and fucking, you know, do what I do, man. So God's will for me is regular meeting attendance. It's calling some men, sharing where the fuck I'm at. But where I'm at today is that old friend of mine. I'm going to look around again. Okay, good. Now we're going to get real. Y'all ready for the real shit? That was all good and Gucci. Like, yay, Billy. Here's what's going on today. My old friend is a female. Old concert buddy hit me up on Facebook because she wants to get clean, dude. She got a bottom like 20 motherfuckers. She got two twins living in south of Richmond, a poor ass house. She's like, what the fuck? So, of course, she hits me up on Facebook. So, of course, we're texting. I'm trying to help her, you know, in her process. So, I found her an NA meeting. I sent her the MapQuest. You know how when your friends ask you, like, about getting clean? They ain't trying to get clean. They don't ever, none of them ever takes, you know, like, go to a meeting. Yeah, whatever, dude. I just want to get clean. I ain't trying to do that. Go to a meeting. Okay. call me next week. This girl walked to the meeting, dude.
Nice.
Right? She's got, like, a bottom, man. And a good attitude. Dude, that's so important in this process. I know so many people have went back out over attitude for seeing what's wrong in the meetings. Instead of being grateful your happy ass is clean. Who gives a fuck about that guy that shares at every single meeting? We got a guy, dude, that comes in late, stares his ass off, acts like he's getting a call, and dips. Every meeting. Every meeting. 8 years, dude. And you can't talk to him outside because he dips. That's what he does. But if I sit there and focus on him, or whatever the hell's negative going on, it's all about attitude, man. Young lady's got attitude, a good attitude. So, of course, that's all good, right? I'm helping. But was I supposed to buy King's Dominion season pass for her so we could all go with her kids, with her happy month to King's Dominion and take her here? Okay. Nothing inappropriate going on? Because, you know, I don't mess with newcomers. Yeah, right. Motherfucker, we know you do because you've done it. Kevin and Kelly's here, I ain't gonna lie. I mean, I'm not a predator. I don't go in there like some of these motherfuckers and look around and hit them up on Facebook. I mean, I'm not as bad as them. But you've been with a newcomer. We see your ass and you sit in the meeting and you don't give a fuck. She's hot. She's right there, dude. And you're like, yeah, fuck these motherfuckers. I got a newcomer. I'm helping her. I'm taking her to speaker jams. This is actually a different person. Taking her to speaker jams. I had a dude, man, I'm 51, man. Please. I had a girl 2 years ago that was 23 years old, man. She looked like Girls Gone Wild video, like jumped out of the TV into my room, man. I was like, holy God, God is good. Motherfucker. Taking her to the Almost Heaven convention, taking her to speaker jams, heavy metal shows. I figured if I could just expose her enough, and a lot of women will tell you what's going on in the beginning. Just listen, right? This girl already told me, dude, I am on about my ex. Like, I don't even date nobody because I'll break their heart because I'm on about baby's dad. They'll tell you. That girl told me. She says, dude, we can never, because I'm a monogamous dude. Like, I would like to have, like, a regular relationship. Whatever. I don't see too many of that around, but there's a few. And she said, she goes, dude, you're too old. I can't bring you home to my dad. And me and my dad are like this. I didn't listen. I fell in love. We were together a month. Then I was devastated, heartbroken. I did more H&I commitments. She's a newcomer. Leave the newcomer alone. It's not for them. Because for real, I probably was a decent influence on her, right? Taking her to meetings and shit. It's for your ass, dude. That shit brings pain, man. They go back out. You fucked up. Like, fuck it. Hey, that guy. And you're like, Anyway, so God's will, I'm going to wrap up with this. God's will is for me to share where I'm at. I'm being honest with y'all. Because I'm already thinking, like, damn, I want a family. I want more kids. I'm 51 and my daughter's like 12. And she's like, you're too old for a baby, Dad. Stop. And stop with these young girls, you perv. Like, my daughter's so funny, dude. She's 12, dude. She knows more about NA than half y'all, dude. This girl was kidding, asked her to sponsor her, joking around. And my daughter took it seriously. She was 10. She started giving that girl suggestions and shit. Fucking wrong, dude. That girl was like, damn, dude, I was... She was like, and I tell this other girl, my daughter has competition. I'm telling Lee, I got my first sponsee. I'm like, there, go, girl. You know, and but in my mind, I would like to have. It's the best part of my life is my daughter, dude. I love my relationship with her. And this, I'm simply. All right, we're good. And this girl got two twins, 2 years old. My mind thinks, snap, there go God. There's two 2-year-olds. You know, I can't find a deal killer. Usually there's a deal killer. They're a little too crazy, or there's something. I'm like, dude, I really enjoy company with her. This girl blew my mind because I text her. I said, dude, I always end up with these broken girls and these fixer-uppers, right? And she texts me back. She goes, why do you end up? And I'm like, what? Why do you end up? Because I end up with them. She goes, why don't you get to know somebody first, man? This chick got a month clean, dude. Fuck me up. I'm like, get to know somebody? You mean like... Wait, what? Oh, you get... Oh, shit, that does make sense. You know what an NA fucking relationship is. One date, second date, you bring the U-Haul behind you. You know. I stole that from AA, by the way, when I first heard it. She's like, get to know somebody, man. That's a hell of a thing, man. So my mind's like, okay, we'll get to know each other. But she got two twins. And I started noticing my thinking. But my thinking always wants to build a story around what's happening in life. And it's the story that I come up with. It ain't got nothing to do with God. Because life's impermanent. It's always changing. But my thinking wants to be fixed. So I'm noticing. So no matter what situation we're in, that's where we can grow from. So yeah, probably not the best idea to bring her to the city. She's having a time of her life, dude. The whole fucking convention is blowing her mind. So from this point, you know, I'm going to keep sharing where I'm at. And when I get trifling ideas, because I will, because she got ass like next fucking Tuesday, dude. I swear to God, dude. And I'm thinking, like, I'm telling God, like, God, if that is the one, like, we're good, dude. That ass is bad. And I already know, if I get in the way, I will stop whatever God wants, whether it's her or somebody else. I already know that from all the X shit. Stay out of the way. I'm out of the way. I'm like over here looking at her. I'm over here, God. We're good. We ain't doing nothing. Ain't nobody fucking over. No, you. I ain't thinking about that, man. Shit, I ain't trying to do that with a girl in a month. I ain't trying to get. I'm not the player to get to like that. I'm thinking more long term. I want to like fuck the whole world. I'm not just a little sad. Oh my God. So God's will for me is to share where I'm at honestly with other addicts, to go to regular meeting attendance, prayer and meditation. I find stillness in the morning. I find a connection to the present moment, and in that I find a connection to God. It's in helping others. When sponsees and these men, these newcomer men call me, pay attention to the phone calls, be there for them. Take days off work to go do step work with your sponsees.
Okay.
You know, give to others. And stop being so fucking trifling. And being so fucking cheap. I'm cheap sometimes. I gotta stop doing that shit. You know, and showing up. I went to every Ocean City except for one because I was fucking around in AA. And if you're doing that, get your help where you can get it. But my story is I was doing it to run from getting intimate with people. I was doing it all in Philly, whatever. I've been to every Ocean City convention, you know, and I'm just really grateful, man. I'm gonna stop sharing now. Thanks for letting me share.
All right!
Good job, man. Hey, don't choke yourself, please. All right.
Well, okay. All right, let's get Phil another hand. Yeah.